We've already started our conversation off the air about Superman. I've come to the conclusion Omar Kelly doesn't like fun. Omar Kelly's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He has covered the Dolphins for many years. He's a columnist with the Miami Herald. You can read his work in the actual Herald, the actual newspaper, the Herald app, or MiamiHerald.com. You have so many outlets. You know, I was at Wawa the other day, and I looked at a newspaper, one of your competitors. It was $4.50 for the daily. That was wild to me.
I am so amazed at how much they charge for newspaper now. And I'm just blown away. I'm like, are we really just trying to kill our business? Is this what we're doing?
Well, I mean, it's more costly. Everything's more costly nowadays.
I know.
And, but it was just jarring to me for someone who loved stopping at the machine to get a newspaper. And it was a quarter. It was always a quarter.
Yeah.
And to see it at $4.50 was wild.
I mean, most people don't even have a clue where they can actually get a physical newspaper right now. And that's sad. That's really sad. I remember when we used to be in school and they used to give us newspapers so we could read and you have to do projects out of it. Those days are long gone.
Hey, by the way, I do this every year when training camp comes around. We have the local writers on. I always say, don't forget. Don't just Bogart all the information that they're giving you via nefarious means. Subscribe to the Herald online, the app, or the Sun Sentinel, the Palm Beach Post. Support local journalism, because guys like Omar, they're out there sweating during a training camp. And honestly, it's nice that you can get content for free, but also I think it is so important to support the local journalists. And for me, like, if you're trying to consume as much Dolphins content as you can, like, throw a few bucks at the Herald app every month so that you get that stuff.
And our deal is $2 for 3 months right now. So we're basically giving it away for free. Obviously, the price is going to jack up on you, but, you know, you can do what you want to do after
it's
that.
It's good content, though. It's good content.
Yeah, no, yeah. Definitely it's good content.
You still get the cartoons in there? You get Marmaduke? I'll get on to other stuff. Omar Kelly. So I do want to talk about Superman because he saw Superman, but I want to talk first about the Dolphins. And you've been there for a couple days now, obviously a couple injuries yesterday. We know Eric Azukama looked good yesterday. I saw a couple people saying Zach Wilson looked good today. But what's your overall feel of the Dolphins after a couple days of actual activity?
I don't think the offensive line is as good as we need it to be. I don't think the cornerbacks are as bad as people expect it to be. Now, obviously, the defensive line, our defense is always ahead of the offense at this point. So, and until you put pads on, you really can't make much sense of anything. But right now, I like what you're seeing from a pass rushing standpoint. I'm a little concerned with the offensive line. They added some depth today because I had a concern going into camp. They don't have a backup left tackle, and that's a problem. And the cornerbacks, I got to say this. I understood what they were thinking and their thought process where we're going to throw all these young people against the wall and see who sticks. And they haven't disappointed so far. I can't tell you a day when I've been like, oh, that guy's been bad. You know, they're holding their own. They're holding their own. These young, inexperienced, no-name cornerbacks, they should call themselves the no-name boys. They are holding their own.
And with the culture change, and now we're hearing that he's running them. The whole thing was that they're running sprints after practice, toughening up and all. But can you see a change of Mike McDaniel's approach, the change of a team, trying to become tougher or anything like that?
No. I was interesting that you bring this up because I wanted your take on it. I'm asking players, does culture come from the coach or does culture come from the locker room?
Oh, locker room.
Okay.
I say it all the time. I didn't give a damn about upsetting Nick Saban or Bill Parcells. I didn't want to upset Zach or Jason.
That's
where it has started.
That's the sentiment I'm getting from players around the league. Like, coaches don't set culture. Players in the locker room. And that's the interesting part of it because this is – and Zach said it today. Zach Seeler said it today. It's about don't let the little things stack up. Don't sweep it under the bed. Don't hide it under your covers. address it, talk about it, call each other out, speak on it. This moment of discomfort might lead to something positive down the line. And apparently that's what they weren't doing last year, where they were just not, things would happen that they didn't like and they just wouldn't speak on it and it just stack up on them. Mm. And you got to the point where really nobody liked anybody last year, even though they had a hell of a great time in 2023, they just weren't getting along in 2024. And that's the thing, when you face adversity, like people always say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to show you my culture or this or that, or, you know, we got a tough team. Let me know how you respond when they punch you in the mouth. Mm-hmm. After you get punched in the mouth is when I will tell when you whether you do or you don't have you don't have culture, because right now ain't nobody punching you in the mouth.
Yeah.
You brought up Zach Sealer. Should the Dolphins pay him? He says he deserves it. We were talking about it earlier, and I was mentioning that you think back to that 2023 team when things were clicking, right? Pretty much everybody outside of Tua, Waddle, Tyreek, all like the key guys of that team are gone. Zach Sealer on the defensive end is really the only guy left from that like core of guys. I was making the point, like, you can't let everybody walk if you really believe that the team you built, if you're Chris Greer, is talented. So I think they should pay him.
I think the question is a little bit more complicated than that, because they have him under contract for 2 years. They've already given him two deals earlier than they needed to. So now you'd be asking for a third. Now, has he always taken 70 cents on the dollar? Yes, he has. He's always taken a team-friendly, probably below-market deal just to secure the bag. And he's made $26 million over the course of his career so far. Zach will tell you, I'm very thankful and very appreciative about that. But now when you have him sitting here, probably have to hit every single incentive in the world to make $8 million when average defensive tackles are making 16, like, what are you going to do as a team and an organization, especially when this is the guy that you point to and say, he represents our culture. He makes up our culture. That is our worker. That is the guy we want everybody to follow. But you know what? We're not going to pay him. We're not going to take care of him. So why should I follow him? You're not going to take care of him. So
they're kind of forced. They're kind of forced then.
And Crowder can speak on this. You have to hold their hand behind their back and pull it up all the way till they feel pain for them to do something. This organization, you have to basically put a gun to their head for you to do something. Now, Zach is not doing that right now. Zach is working. He's saying, I need to show these young guys the right way, how we do things. That's not in my character. That's not who I am. But will there come a point where he says, where the contract negotiations aren't going favorably, and he says, screw it, I'm shutting it down? I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But this organization, like Chris Greer and Steve Ross, this predates Mike McDaniel, have prided themselves on doing the right thing. Like, hell, there are, as they call, Big A fans. Their name of them are Big A fans. There's like five of them in the bleachers. It's windy as hell sitting there in the bleachers. It's hot, but you got a cool little wind. I don't even know how much that costs, but they put those fans in there for the fans. Mm-hmm. That's the type of organization they run. If you don't take care of Zach Sealer, if you don't just say to Zach, hey, Zach, we're going to give you this $16 million in guaranteed money. We're going to give you a $14 million signing bonus. We're going to extend your contract 2 years, you know, whatever the rate is. But here's a check for $12 million, Zach. We love you. We appreciate you. Like, if you don't just make that extension of respect, like, your locker room is gonna say you ain't backing up what you're talking. And yeah. that's a bad message to send.
And oh, but they did. I think they kind of, like you're saying, as I'm with you, I think I was 8 hours away from free agency until they gave me my money in, oh, you know, 07, whatever it was, 08. But they paid, they restructured Ramsey. Then they gave Tyreek more money. Then they gave Waddle more money. Then they had to pay Tua. So it seemed like they were opening up the piggy bank, opening up the pocketbook. But now with the success or lack of success they had, do you think they're going to now go back the other way where it's like, we were paying folks and not doing nothing. We can't pay just everybody. It didn't work.
A lot of those players force the issue. Like Ramsey was like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be healthy enough for the season opener. Like I got these groins, or maybe it's my knee. I don't know what it is, but something is preventing me from playing. And Tyreek, they should have done that deal earlier. I don't know why they didn't do that deal early, because it would have helped them create cap space. But yes, a lot of the contracts that they did and extensions turned out to be mistakes. But just because you make a mistake these other four times, does that mean you're going to be making a mistake with Zach Sealer? Like, what has Zach Sealer ever done wrong in this organization? Name me the one thing he's ever done that you said, you know what? Yeah, that's a little sketchy.
Lead us to a playoff win.
Not a one man band.
He got a lot of work to do on this.
You rolled your eyes, Omar, when I said people were saying that Zach Wilson looked good today. You rolled your eyes a little bit. You do not think Zach Wilson looked good?
No.
Mistake? Was that a mistake as the backup for Tua?
No, I think it's the best that they can do. It was the best that, and I trust me, I dig deep in this. It was the best that they can do.
Josh Dobbs, man.
No, Josh Dobbs got more money.
He did? Are you sure?
You might be right. No, Josh Dobbs might not have gotten more money. I agree. I love Josh Dobbs. They wanted to invest in Zach Wilson. They paid him handsomely to do that. He has a strong arm. There's inaccuracy at times. The decision-making isn't as quick. But I don't think every quarterback – a lot of quarterbacks did not want to come in this situation because they knew – you're not getting a chance unless Tua gets hurt. Tua has such a great mastery of the offense. You're not beating him out. You're not even coming close. Now, would you have had a great chance to play? Yeah, absolutely. But then all the pressure's on you because you got to save the season now. And I don't know if everybody wanted that. I don't know if everybody wanted that. You know, these backup quarterbacks, man, they got the best job in the world. They get a lot of money, and they just stand there and hold the clipboard and got to help the quarterback get prepared and – you know, and like nobody's realistically looking to evaluate what Zach Wilson did. He was okay today. I haven't seen good. He's okay. Mm. He's okay. I would never say he did a good job today. No.
That story, the big story, what was that, 2 days ago with Tua coming out and saying, no, Tyreek has to prove back or get our trust back and all. What is he going to do? Is he going to get chicken nuggets for the team? Like, what is the – it sounds good, and it's a good story when you read it on ESPN. But what really –
He meant that with every – the one thing you can always expect about from Tua, and I don't know why he's wired like this, he will always tell the truth. Always. Because he could have given you a politically correct answer. He like, nah, we not good. He like, no. You can't say what you said and say my bad. He literally said that. Like, you can't say what you said. You can't do what you did and then be like, oh, my bad. Like, it don't work like that. You gotta consistently show me what your actions. Even Tyreek has said he doesn't expect to be voted a captain. Mm-hmm. Like, he said that during OTAs. He's like, yeah, I messed up. I don't expect to be voted a captain again. Tyreek has to show people with his actions. And that's my thing about Tyreek. Tyreek says a lot of things. How much does he back up with his actions? Very little. Mm. Like,
I love Tua calling him out that way. I loved it. I thought it was a good leadership moment from Tua.
It was. And people don't see all of the leadership moments. Like, there's no – Tua is clearly head and tails – the defined, clear leader of this team. It's probably him, Minka, Zach Sealer, Jordan Brooks, Cater, Aaron Brewer. The leadership has Bradley Chubb. The leadership has stepped forward. That was one of my biggest concerns. I was like, man, you're losing some hella leaders. Calais Campbell and Teron Armstead might be the best leaders I've ever seen in my career. Like, with the exception of Zach and Jason, you know. But I'm proud of the way that a lot of the leaders have stepped up. And they're like, yeah, we're going to be way more accountable to one another. And this isn't going to be, you know, the same thing that you know, we're not going to look the other way when people start showing up late and, you know, and not showing up to practices when they feel like it. Because that's really – last year, Tyreek walked onto the practice field after they had done 7-on-7s, jumped into 11-on-11s, roast the cornerback, run 20 routes, and then my day is done. Like, and that was okay. Like,
I got to ask, you bring up Minka Fitzpatrick. What did y'all do to Minka when he was here before that he hates y'all now? That joker said, I ain't talking to damn one of y'all.
Listen, it's not. It's because we remember what happened. We remember. I still to this day remember him sitting in the lunch table in Davie with Brian Flores. And you can see Flores is like animated and yelling. And Minka just sitting there like, yeah, nah, dog. Like it was. Minka does not want to talk about why he left. It's like, okay. It's like, you know, you got an ex. Now you circle the block. Do you want to talk about the old days? Y'all back together now. Do you want to talk about the old days and what happened then? And you know, I'm sure he doesn't, because he doesn't want to have to explain it. He said to this fan base, "All right, peace. I'm out. This is too much for me over here. Wow. I gotta go." But the man's whole family lives here. That was the surprising part to me. I didn't even know his family lives here. Mm-hmm. Even Tua talked about having to sit down with him and like figure out what's fact from fiction about what happened back in the days. And you know, Tua is a Brian Flores survivor too. So I'm sure they can relate some stories. So it's a lot of people who are Brian Flores survivors out there. I'm one of them.
We're all Brian Flores survivors.
we can all speak about some of our experiences. It's more traumatizing.